Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Am I properly audible? Yes, thank you. I wish you everyone a very happy and prosperous new year. A very prosperous one in the Lord. May you grow in the Lord. May you grow in the Lord. May the Word work in you. May the Spirit have a say in every decision of yours. May God bless you. We will read from Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. 28. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing of living things that moves on the earth. So here, God wants to talk to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, as we meditate on the word, Father, we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you bring out the jewels that you want to make us know, so that we can always dwell in you. Let our hearts rejoice in your presence always. As we go out, even from the hall, Lord, Father, let your joy and peace prevail in our hearts. Lord and my Father, I am not worthy to give this word, but you have chosen me for this day. I did not even think that I'll be here today. I'll be able to stand here, but God made it possible. I thank you, my Lord. But use me as a humble servant. Let me be hidden behind you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. So here we see that there are three important things mentioned. One is about creation, how he created. Second is the relationship. And third is what is the purpose. So when you look into these two verses, he created them in his own image. So the creation was in his own image. And what was the purpose? The second is the relationship. The God blessed them, and he said to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion over everything. So that was the purpose. We see that the relationship was that that is very much there, that he created and he blessed. He blessed us. So he blessed us with everything. Nothing we are lacking. You are the image of God. That is one thing that we always forget, that he has created us in his image. But since we are here in this world, we always forget that, and because of the sin. Now, second thing is, when he created you and me as a masterpiece of God. So, we see that upon all the other things that he made, animals and everything, but he had a very special, this creation was very special, because this creation he created with his own hands, and he breathed his spirit into us. Then we became alive. So you see the the speciality. That is the relationship we are going to talk about, we are going to meditate about. So here you see that you are a special creation. You are in the image of God. You are the masterpiece of God. So we are not like any other animals. You might be thinking that Adam and Eve might be in a fairy land. Adam was there and Adam didn't saw all the animals, but he did not see Eve. Eve was not there. He named all the animals. And then after that, God brought Eve. See the joy that God brought in him, the joy that he saw. We will always think that it was a fairy tale, it was a fairy island, and there was only, everything was there except this, and finally, these kind of fairy tales we read. It is almost like that in even in our lives when we find out our spouse. When we find out our spouse, the situation might be different. It might not be an island, but it will be a joy. That joy will be the same when Adam when Eve was brought to Adam. When he made Adam and Eve in the garden, they were supposed to reflect the glory of God. That was the purpose. The purpose was to reflect the glory of God. When you reflect the glory of God, everything comes under your footstool. Because you are reflecting His glory, not our glory. So when you reflect, this was the purpose of God, that He wanted to have dominion over everything. Dominion, what we understand is suppose I am the pastor of this church, I ask everyone, stand up, sit. No, that is not it. It is in humility. What we understand is the human way. But what God wants to understand is how He looks at it. He has a plan for everything. And that is not by power that we understand of this world. So here we are supposed to reflect His glory alone. When many people, all the people who got changed, was only when they saw the glory of God. The glory of God is so powerful. We are supposed to reflect the same glory. The only commandment that God gave was in Genesis chapter 2, 6, 6, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, and but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." So here we see, you shall surely die if you eat. So this is the only condition that God gave. Only condition is that you should not, you are given the freedom, but don't use that freedom for the knowledge of good and evil, to eat the fruit of the good and evil. Why God said like that was, God gave us full freedom to show His love. And then when He gave the full freedom, the problem is also there, that we might use it for a wrong reason. So here God gave only one commandment. Now what happens there is, in Genesis chapter 3, 5, God knows, now the devil talks to Eve, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This was the temptation, that you will be like God. That was the temptation, knowing good and evil. Now, this temptation, when the problem of this temptation is, when you fall into this temptation, the problem is that you will know good and evil. First is that you will disobey God's commandment. And second is, you will be like God because you will be knowing good and evil. The problem for that is, listen, this, the problem for that is, when you understand good and evil and you become a God by yourself, that means a self, you start defining right and wrong. See, the problem lies there. You start defining right and wrong. Now, what is right for you, or for you, will not be the will of God, will be your will. This was the problem. That is why God said, fruit from the tree of knowledge. Now, the problem of defining, when we define good and evil, the problem that happens is, you will be always right. You will be always right. That is what even we see that. They came out and they dressed themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves stands for self-righteousness. So you cover your nakedness and you see only others' nakedness. Now that is what is happening when you start defining right and wrong. So this is the place that actually the derailment happened. Now the derailment happened, and we were God purposed man for a good reason. Now this man is on the wrong track, on a different purpose. Now that is what you read in Isaiah chapter 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. See, this is the problem. Who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, everything, it's gone upside down. See the problem? The sin came into our life. Everything went upside down. So there, from that time onwards, we are all self-righteous. We know that Adam had children and he created them, he begat them in his own likeness and in his own image, not in God's image. From that time onwards, the image of God is there, but corruptness entered. That is what happened. In Psalms 14:1 says, David Psalm, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt. See, nowadays, all the thinkers say that there is no God. See, this is the problem of right and wrong. When we define right and wrong, now what happens is, we say that there is no God. So that is the problem. So this is the wisdom of this world. And in the second verse, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is anyone who understands or who seeks God. So you see that God is from morning till evening, and even in the night, throughout, God is looking whether there is even one who seeks God in the right understanding. So he is looking, but he doesn't find anything. We read in the next verse. So I want to communicate. This is the state of our state. This is our state. Now, how can we come out? It's not possible. We are defining, every day we are defining. You think about each and every one of us. We are probably, suppose I am staying in a room with seven people. And when I am talking to all the seven people, I say, I. And then I say to the next person, I. Like that, I speak to all the seven people, I am talking about, and I am talking about others. So I am talking about, I am putting comments about others when I talk about myself. So when I have this seven people, I talk to how many people every day? I talk to minimum six, because seven I have to take out myself. So 6 × 6, 36 people. 36 people I am talking every day. 36 people when I am in a seven person room. 36 people I am always telling that I. You understand what I'm saying? Suppose I no? Okay. Suppose I tell to the six people, I. That is six. Now the other person with me, sorry, there, maybe this is the other person might be talking, I. So all the seven people, when they say I, there are 36 people, 36 I's. So 36 I's, I cannot stay in a room because you will be bored hearing always I, what I did. You know, have you been in a room where 3-4 people are there and one person always boasting, the other person is also boasting, and these people fight between each other because what he has done in this, all those things. So it is quite boring. You stay in a room. But the problem is suddenly, not a problem, the good thing is that suddenly one person came to the Lord and he spread the good news. All the seven became born again. Now, how many I will be there? Huh? Yeah, there will not be an I. It will be all God. So this is what God intends through his relationship. He wants to make all of us in one, in Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So I just wanted to exhort you. God wants to talk to you about four things, which, because he has that urge in him. He wants to be with you. He wants to communicate to you. And this is what he wants to communicate. In the new year, I want to encourage you what God wants to speak to you. So here, you are very valuable before God. That is number one. You are very valuable. Say, I am very valuable. God have created man in a unique way. You carry a value, which is a unique value, which is a unique value. Why? Because the signature of God is upon you. The signature of God, because you have a DNA, and one strand of DNA, if you want to print, if you put 500 words in a page, you need roughly about 600,000 pages to print your DNA. That kind of a uniqueness, and no one in this world hold that DNA. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is how he is created. Why did he do that? He has designed for a purpose. He has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
You are God. Jesus says, you are the salt. You are the light. You are the salt of this earth and you are the light of this earth.
So you are so valuable that if you are not there, this earth does not taste. This earth will be full of darkness. Full of darkness. So that is why he says, you are the salt and you are the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, for that we should walk in them, he has created in Christ us as a workmanship, his own workmanship. That is why I'm telling you are valuable. You are valuable. So, when you read Psalms, David says, he says, when he saw this God, how he is created, how uniquely he is created, then he says, it's a wonder. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 15th verse. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Then, the 16th verse, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. So from that, there was nothing. At that time, he fashioned, he wrote in the books. See the 17th verse. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Do you have some meaning over there? In his thoughts, you were there. Say amen. Why? In his thoughts, you were there. Think, just imagine. Yes, so say that I am valuable. I am a creation of his own image. Thank God. Luke 20:23, he says, but he perceived, the Pharisees want to try Jesus. They were asking whether it is right to give the tax. And he says, show me one of the coins. And they showed some of the coins. And he asked, it was actually for testing. And he said, whose image is there? And they said, this is Caesar's. And then, what did Jesus say? Give that belongs to Jesus, Caesar. And what belongs to God, you give back. So we know that. We have discussed this before. What is belonging to God? Yeah, me. We are supposed to give back to him. See the smugglers, they hid the very precious things. Very precious things in the mud and other things too. To escape. The mud is there. You will not understand that it is gold. But does it lose the value? No, doesn't lose the value. So now you have a note, say 50 riyal note. It is totally shabby. It's totally shabby. And you get that note. We are all like that note. But when you take that note and give it to the bank, will it be accepted for the same value? It will be accepted for the same value. That is how God has created us. Maybe we have gone wrong by defining right and wrong, but when we come back to God, you are very precious. You are very precious. Yeah, you have to say amen for that.
Amen.
All right. So Luke 15:10, Jesus says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when over one sinner, can you complete it? Yes, one sinner who repents. So when he repents, he says that joy in the presence of God. In the 7th verse also, he says that in the kingdom of God, there is joy. The second thing that God wants to tell you is, you are lovable. God said, you are lovable, and no one said amen. Say amen again.
Amen.
You are lovable.
Amen.
Okay. First John 4:9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in this world, that he might live through him. This was how the love was manifested. How? In the 10th verse, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So this is what God says, you are lovable. Because he sent his own Son, which is he himself came down. He himself came down and he took our form. Our form. That is in Philippians 2:6. Who being in the form of God did not consider to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. So he was a slave. He came in the form of a slave servant. What is bond servant? Is a slave servant. In the form of a, he was not a slave servant. He came in the form. Why? Because in the likeness, we are in that likeness. So he came down. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and came obedient to the point of death, and and even the death at the cross. So here we see that, and being found in the appearance, being found, his being was found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient. He took the form of a slave servant. Now, if God can do this for us, that he can come down and be as in the form of a slave servant for us, why can't we take that form of a slave or as a servant? What is stopping us not to do that? You know, the prodigal son comes and he says, Father, do not accept me as your son. Accept me as, because I have sinned against you and heaven. Accept me as your servant. Accept me as your servant. There, he's requesting him, as God came as a servant, now he's requesting him to accept him as a servant. So, he's accepting father to accept him as a servant. So if God can come down to that servanthood, what is stopping us to go to that servanthood? This is the essence of baptism. When we become identified with his son, how humble he was and how he gave his life and died on the cross. That is, he came and he took the baptism, and his life was a baptism until his death. And we are also taking up, say, I live for Christ. I don't live for anyone. I live for Christ. God bless you. So here we see that this son got totally severed from the father. He legally, he is no more a son, because he took, he said, I am going. And he went not in his country, far off country. He is no more a person of this country. And then he severed the financial relationship of with his father. He took everything and he didn't want to come back. What is making him not to come back? Even when the famine happened, he didn't come back. He went again back to another person. What is making him do that? It is only because he was defining right and wrong. He was defining right and wrong. So, but this father, when you come and see this father was waiting for him. He was waiting. He was coming. He never thought that father would be waiting like this. But all the other people did not see. Father saw. This is what we read in Psalms chapter 14. From the morning till evening. And throughout, God is looking at you because you are precious. You are valuable. And you are lovable. So, Then we go to the third point, which is, it comes as a package. You are forgivable. You are forgivable. Why? Why you are forgivable? The love that flush comes like a flood. Father's love comes like a flood. It doesn't stop anywhere. It doesn't stop anywhere. It comes as a flood. He says whatever he wanted to tell his father. But father was never able to hear what he was telling. He went and he hugged. And this is the joy that Luke chapter 15, 10 and 7 says. That in the kingdom of heaven, when we go back, this is the joy and happiness that there will be. So here in 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, it keeps, love keeps no record of being wronged. You know, when I was born again, I met Christ. Many people wrote about my future. Many people wrote about my future, including my parents. Many. You are a failure. You are a drunkard. You are a liar. Why you were born? Why you were born at this point of time? You are untrustworthy. You cannot be trusted. All this were a reality also. We cannot blame them. It was a reality. So many people wrote. Many verdict upon me. But when I was dragged and I was brought to the Lord, and when everyone, all these people were standing around me and saying, pointing fingers upon me, I see only that. I have never heard someone justifying that he is good. I never heard when I was being brought and kept there, everyone was saying that this person is not worthy. This person cannot enter my house. This person cannot go along with my son. Everyone made a verdict. But when first time I heard that Jesus said that if someone is not having any sin, let him cast the first stone upon him. This was marvelous. It was mind-blowing. It went out of my mind. I saw this love towards me. First time in my life. First time. I am not adding even one word to it. It was mind-blowing for me. And I saw the glory of God in the eyes of Jesus Christ. The eyes of Jesus Christ was glowing when I met him. And Colossians chapter 2:14 says, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against me, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. Each and every one over here being forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus has taken out, whatever people said about you, whatever they mentioned about you, whatever verdict that they said, everything is wiped out. Amen. There is nothing remaining. Amen. You don't need to look at what was the curse in your grandparents' time, parents' time, nothing. Everything is powerless. Amen. He has made everything powerless on the cross. So he wiped out the hand, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against everything contrary to us. And what did he do? 15th verse. He disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Having disarming principalities, all those people, all those power, everyone was saying, he's a failure, he's gone. And having disarmed, they don't have anything. And made public, I'm standing here for that reason. Amen. Public spectacle of them, triumphing over them, not success, triumphing, stamping, stepping on all those things, stepping on all those curses, and you are now totally free out of all curses. Amen. Now, Jesus wants the past to be removed from us, all past. Now he is giving you a good, clean slate. Very clean slate. It's for you. It's for you to take the call. Amen. Now, I cannot or you cannot alter your past. But if you can take the past to the altar, we cannot alter. But you need to take the past to the altar. Are you ready to surrender? Are you ready? Why there is no sound? Are you ready to surrender?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. So, the fourth one is, you are made capable. You are made capable. So, here, God made us capable. So, first, you are valuable. Say amen.
Amen.
Secondly, you are lovable.
Amen.
And third, you are forgivable.
Amen.
Now, He is making you capable.
Amen.
How He is going to make you capable? He is going to give you meaning in your life. He is giving you meaning to live. He is going to give you meaning to live. When I looked at His eyes, when I looked, I saw His eyes, I saw the glory of God. That glory of God, when it came into me, you know, when you read Isaiah chapter 9, 6 says, a child is born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, there are two types. This was quite questionable. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given. Given. He was there. He was there. That is why you see that Son is given, pre-existed. He was a mighty God. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He was a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father.
Amen.
Who? This child. This child who is setting you free, who is loving you, who is valuing you, who is forgiving you. Now this child is making you capable. No, amen.
Amen.
He will make you capable.
Amen.
You will meet any challenges with Him.
Amen.
No challenges shall overtake you.
Amen.
Colossians say that it's a mystery. Colossians chapter 1:26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now it's revealed. To whom? To us. To us. In 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of His, of the glory of the mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you. God wants to reveal what? Riches of His glory. Riches of His glory. Not glory. Riches of His glory. He wants you to know the riches of His glory. And which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, once the Son does that, your new journey starts. There is a new song in your tongue. And that song is, how excellent is your name in all earth. In every stage you see and say, how excellent is your name. How excellent. Say, how excellent is your name. Then the new creation has got new goals, new ambitions. New goals and new ambitions. The curse of eating the fruit of knowledge is removed. Now you understand right for right and wrong for wrong. But it is up to you. It's up to you. So now He has called us for a purpose. So you start with a song, then you have new goals and ambitions, and then you do not you are always looking how to please God. You are not valuing what others say. The others say many things about you, but that is valueless, worthless. You are looking at what God says about you. This is a new creation. God is living in us. He will make your mourning into dancing.
Amen.
Curses into blessings. Curses into blessings. Psalms 8:1 says, this is a David Psalm. How excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And the third, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Now, he says that he visit him. That was at the time of David. But now he wants to live in you. He wants to live in you.
Amen.
He wants to live in you.
Amen.
He wants to make you glorious.
Amen.
All right. So then the purpose, sixth verse, you have made him have dominion over the works of your hands. He is going to make you capable. He wants to have dominion over all the works of your hands.
Amen.
And put all things under his feet.
Amen.
This is the purpose being revealed. And it ends with, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The signature is upon us. Each and every person is carrying his signature. God's signature. God called for a purpose. May your steps be ordained by him.
Amen.
Where do you see this reflection of this glory? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the... To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is where I saw his eyes with that glory. I saw the glory of God, light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when you look at Jesus Christ, when you find Jesus Christ, you see the glory of God. He wants to enrich you with his glory. Then the seventh verse, but we have this treasure, where? In this earthen vessels. So this earthen vessel is what? Treasure carrying. You carry a treasure. Whoever is carrying a treasure, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Kindly raise your hand and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So you carry the treasure. When very few accepted me when I came to the Lord, very few. My family, many people considered, because that time it was being a Christian and holding a Bible was a mockery. Because my family, the standard was they defined right and wrong. Now what is this? Holding Bible is mostly for those people who doesn't have any other job. And people also make it in the same fashion. When they go, it might be because of the lack of food, they go at the noontime only. You know, I don't know how many of you remember, you know, when the people come at the time of almost 12:30, like that, they will come. And mummy will be running after some rice and this and that. You know, you understand? So that's not because of that. What I'm saying is, if you have the right to have it. No, what I'm saying is, people at that time were talking like that. You have the right to enter into a house, and if they discard you, they discard you. If you entertain you, this is what the word says. So, so at that time, they actually did the same to me. But what happened is, over a period of time, he brought a meaningful existence to me, a new set of hungers, a new set of delights, a new set of wants that came into me, a new set of hungers. I want to live for God, and I am delighting always in the Lord. And then God makes you to from the non-existent to the existent. And then how by giving you meaning in your life. And when the first time that I had a lot of problem to take my life forward, but God was with me, and He nurtured. For so many years I did not learn. 8 years I wasted, but after 8 years I did my degree, and when I passed, I was 77th out of 11,000 students. That was glorious. That was the doing of God. That was the doing of God. Only God can do. I have only failed in my exams. I have all my exams backlog, but God did it. So only God can do it. You are capable. You can. God will make you capable. Amen. The power of transformation of life, and the power that transformed hungers, longings, and desires, that will come to you. And I just wanted to, your passions of life is not the same. Now, your passions of life is different. You don't go after the passions of life like before. I just wanted to give you a story of a, I'll just finish in 5 minutes. The story of a rich man who had an art gallery. It was filled with very precious pictures, valuable pictures and paintings. This was given by Ravi Zacharias once. And he had only one son. The son takes a walk down the street, a father and son, a rich father and son. He had an art gallery. And this son takes a walk and meets a poor person on the road. And the poor person draws a picture. Every day he meets, and he draws a picture by his hand with whatever means that he had, and he gave him. And the boy was so happy, he took and gave it to the father. And father added to the gallery. Later, unexpectedly, the child died. And there was no one to inherit the whole wealth. Now the father wrote a will, and after some time, father also died. And there were two parts of the will. The first part was containing, he separated between A and B, his assets. And he separated between the worth. B was worth, is the precious ones. And A was not the precious ones. But in the will, there was two part. The first part was that you have to sell the A group first. And then in the B group, it was a sealed cover. So they have to open. And it is written, after 15 days, you have to open. And after 15 days, now everyone came for the first auction. First auction, there was no one, because it's all valueless. So everyone came, and the old person also came, the poor person also came, and he saw that his painting is there. So there was no one to quote for that. And he said, I will take, and he got it for a small price. and he went back. Now, after 15 days, again, they had to break the cover. They broke the cover, and it was written only one line. The one who is having the son's portrait will inherit the whole. I am making you to think. This is the time that God is knocking at your door. Revelation chapter 3, 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." There is a condition. There is a condition. He is knocking. Are you hearing the knock? Are you hearing the knock? Or are you asking, where is the door? Are you hearing the knock? So if you are hearing the knock, this is the relationship. Open the door. Open the door. If you open the door, yes, God will enter your heart. Let's all stand up. Let's sing this song. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You are precious in His sight.
Amen.
You are lovable.
Amen.
You are forgivable. You are made capable.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen. Let's put our hand together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We are all images of God. He created us to establish relationship with us. That is why through this we are capable, we are made capable, we become lovable, and all the handwriting of evil ones have been what? Have been wiped out. Amen. He disarmed all the principalities of wickedness. He disarmed all the principality of evil one in our life. Let me just remind you through Hebrews 13 verse 5. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such thing as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless your holy name for your word that we have heard this afternoon. We thank you because you make us realize that we are all created in your image. We give you all glory. We are all masterpiece of you. And through this, we become lovable. We become capable. And all the handwriting of evil one have been wiped away. Father, as this year roll on, every handwriting of evil concerning us, Father, right from this moment, let them be completely wiped off in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of the relationship that we established with you, every handwriting, every principality of darkness that want to follow us throughout this year, Father, at this moment, Father, let them be wiped off in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Almighty God, that we continue to remain in you. As you are at the door, you are knocking. We pray, Almighty God, that we will open our heart so that you will come in and we become more lovable in the mighty name of Jesus. And in all our dealings, all our doings, we become more capable in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for your son that you have used for us this day. We pray, Almighty God, more anointing in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. As many that have heard this message today, Father, we pray that you anoint their heart so that they will open their mind and their heart for you to come in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Once again, we want to thank you for our members that have traveled and they have returned. We give you all glory and adoration. And for those that we are expecting them back, Father, let them return safely in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we go into our different homes now, we pray, Almighty God, your presence shall go with us in Jesus' name. And your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. For our weekly program, Father, take charge and take control in Jesus' name. All the programs we are expecting this week, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Before we share the grace, let's listen to this. Victory Night Intercessory Prayer is tomorrow, 25th January. That is at Bethel from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Please try to be there. That is preparation for the Victory Night, which is coming up on Monday. And for the outing, if you are not in any cell, please, you can submit your names to me if you want to attend the outing. This is very important for logistic purpose. Hallelujah. And for those that are returning, this year has been marked as the year of relationship. We welcome you back. Happy New Year once again to you. Calendars are there with the ushers. Please grab one and pick one for your friend. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.